Let's walk aboard right now, Adam Fischer, SNY MLB analyst and contributor, longtime executive with the Mets and the Braves in Major League Baseball, even though he's a very, very young man, very spry, living out there in Brooklyn, New York. What's going on, F. Fish? How you doing this morning, bud?
Thank you for that, Moose. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Couldn't help but laugh on that. I'm good on this post-winter meetings Friday morning.
Yeah, I guess what from your perspective, Adam, what's the big takeaway? A lot more activity. You know, it's good to be Scott Boras with what the contracts he was able to get for a lot of his big-name clients. But what's your big takeaway from what we witnessed over 3.5 days out there in San Diego?
I think it just shows you what a big difference a handful of clubs can make. You know, when you're talking about activity on the free agent market, we heard a lot over the last year about collusion and, you know, these concepts at this point it looks like it was pretty exaggerated. It was a lot of teams, a perfect storm of a lot of teams deciding to sit it out and not necessarily be competitive. And then you had a couple of contenders, the Yankees included, that were being fiscally responsible and weren't able to kind of juice the market. And, you know, you have a situation where you got three or four non-contenders that are now deciding to bid on free agents. You have a good crew of free agents, as you noted, Moose. Scott Boras had three, you know, totally top of the market free agents, and the big guys decided to bid. You had the Dodgers involved. You had the Yankees involved, and the Rangers, that kind of non-contender getting back into it, and the Angels, and you know that seems to be enough to really get things going.
You know, Adam, when you look at the three big deals, I know they're different. Two starters: Strasburg, Rendon, and Cole. As a former executive, and you know baseball better than anybody, which one of those three deals are you most comfortable with?
I think, you know, the layup answer, I think on that one, Moose, is Rendon, only in the sense that we know that pitching is just it's very iffy as far as injuries go. I mean, if Gerrit Cole comes off the mound grabbing his arm next year, then that's maybe the worst contract in baseball history, you know? I mean, so that is an issue when you're talking about giving pitchers this type of commitment. That being said, I totally understand where the Yankees are coming from. They need that guy to get them over the top. They can. That's an organization that can afford to make even a massive mistake. I mean, they've been able to sort of dodge the Giancarlo Stanton situation over these last couple of years. So there's a little less risk with Cole with them because they're able to take that kind of thing on. But to get back to your question, the position player Rendon, I mean, he's perhaps among the top five position players in baseball, and I think you got to feel pretty good about the term. 7 years is really long, obviously, but compared to say a 9 years for Cole. So anyway, for me, the position player Rendon, pretty easy answer.
Yeah, no, but someone was asking me, you know, now you've got Matt in the dugout, right? You've got the best player in the world at baseball and Trout in the outfield, and you know he's already had a historic career, and he's still a very young player. How much better are the Angels by just adding Rendon?
I mean, they're a lot, a couple wins better, I would say. Well, more than a couple, but they're a lot better, but they're still a really flawed team. I mean, they don't have a very good pitching staff. They don't have a good bullpen. They've got holes along the diamond. So this is going to make them a lot better, but they have more work to do, and they were okay last year, but they don't strike me as a team that scares anybody, despite having, you know, like I said, maybe two of the five best position players in baseball. That doesn't, you got a 25-man roster. They need a lot more than that.
All right, when you look at it, there's still two big starters that are out there. There's a number of guys. But when you look at, Bumgarner and Ryu, of those two guys, if you're a team that's looking for a top two starter in your rotation, which one of those two guys would you be more comfortable investing in?
Gee, that's a tough one. I don't really necessarily see either of those guys as that type of guy necessarily right now.
Or say, which guy, if I'm the Angels, I need a starter. You know, I'm you know, if I'm looking there, I fell short on Gerrit Cole. I'm looking for a starter for them for argument's sake, right? We could debate in terms of the quality of the starter. Which guy would you be more interested in investing in?
I think I'm going with, it's tough from the standpoint of, I'm thinking about it from a durability standpoint. I think they're both good. Ryu's has a better recent track record, but he's had injury issues, and we know that his arm could be an issue. That being said, we also know there's a ton of mileage on Madison Bumgarner's Bumgarner's tires there, that arm as well. But I'm gonna go with the dirt. But that being said, he's been extremely durable for the most part. So I'm gonna go with Bumgarner. You got to see how the price comes in, and you've got Bumgarner talking $100 million, which again shows you Moose the perfect storm of the off season. You know, I mean, it's a complete 180 from last year. I'm not sure what Bumgarner would have gotten last year. Maybe you'd be looking maybe at a Keuchel situation. Well, probably not, but that shows you how night and day it is. Backing up here, Moose, I think I would think about the dollars as well. If it is going to be $100 million and Ryu is that much lower, then maybe you throw the durability out there, because I don't see a huge difference between the two of them outside of when you get into that postseason, that's when you want Bumgarner.
Fish, are you a Keuchel guy who's also a free agent out there?
I'm not a huge fan of Dallas Keuchel. I wouldn't have signed him last offseason. I felt comfortable with the sentiment among Major League executives that he's on the decline. You know, the stuff wasn't up to snuff the year before he hit free agency. But he was pretty solid last year. I think, you know, you're looking at like a 3 or 4 type guy. And if I was the Mets, that would have been a guy that I would have been really interested in. I do like him quite a bit more than Rick Porcello.
We're talking to Adam Fischer, SNY baseball contributor, does a great job there, a former executive with the Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, as we move away from free agency and look at the trade market here quickly, a couple of big names that are potentially out there. Let's start in Milwaukee with Hader. You know, he's in his mid-20s. He's been used a lot the past couple of years. Statistically speaking, not as dominant in 19 as he was in 18, but was used, you know, multiple innings. We know his velocity is there. The fastball is electric. And, you know, there were reports a couple weeks ago that he was available. There's some reports now that the Yankees are talking to the Brewers and are pursuing Josh Hader. If you were the Brewers, and I know, you know, they are not a big market team, and sometimes they've got to kind of take a step back to take a couple steps forward. What would it take to to trade for a Josh Hader, number one? Number two, if you're Milwaukee, are you better with Hader than what you'd get back in a trade?
Well, I think it really depends on where. If Milwaukee's going to trade Josh Hader, they're really going to have to get blown away. He's got 4 more years of control. He is arbitration eligible. So you're talking about at least one top prospect in the game, top 50. And if they do trade Josh Hader, then they can certainly survive in their bullpen. They'll have to replace him kind of in a piecemeal way. But it really, they're probably better off as an organization. You know how, I mean, it's just they have to make tough decisions when you're the Brewers and you're looking at your payroll and you're looking at your success cycle and how are you going to make this happen. And they're thinking, okay, we can capitalize on this reliever and set ourselves up, our farm system, for the next couple of years. They used to have a very highly rated farm system, but those prospects have been used. They've been traded or they've been promoted, and it's not quite the same. So you can see from the Brewers' standpoint why they'd at least think about it. The other thing that makes it risky, you mentioned it, Moose, he's just been used a ton, and that's part of the reason why the Brewers are thinking about it as well. You know, he's pitched so much the last 2 years. When is that sort of bubble going to burst? You know, he doesn't have a great delivery. It's violent. There's a lot of torque on his arm. So he would be scaring me if I was – I would have – I mean, to be honest with you, I'd have zero interest in Josh Hader for trading for him, that is. I mean, if he's out there and you want to sign him for just dollars and take a risk that way, I'm totally good with that. But I wouldn't want to be giving up top guys for a reliever that has that much tread on his tires these last 2 years, no matter how good he is. And that's part of the reason why the Brewers are thinking about it.
All right, how about to Chicago? And you know, Theo and the guys out there with the Cubs seem to have a little bit of a different mindset. You know, they got rid of Addison Russell, and now for a lot of different reasons. Poor play, but certainly has had issues away from the baseball diamond as well. It seems like that window for the Cubs has kind of closed a little bit. Different manager now. We know the Madden relationship did not end well. Reports out of Chicago that they might pair off Chris Bryant, right? You look at the third base market. You've still got Donaldson out there. We know Rendon is an Angel. How about if you were running that Cub team and you look at a player that's as good as Chris Bryant offensively and defensively at third base? I mean, number one, would that be a guy that you'd be looking to pair off, Adam? Number two is, what would it take to get Chris Bryant from the Cubs?
Well, I mean, that I never thought you'd be seeing them looking to move Chris Bryant, but the reality is the situation he does have Scott Boras as his agent. They've got this grievance going on with his service time. If everyone remembers, he was sent down to the minors early in his career. Well, before he made it to the majors, it looked like he was ready to break camp, and he was sent down to the minors to at least being accused of manipulating his service time. It got a lot of attention. Right now, they're deciding whether he has 1 or 2 years left before he becomes a free agent, which is a huge thing about what he's worth, right, Moose?
I mean, sure, no doubt.
That year is massive. It sounds like they followed the rules. I mean, the rules are what they are, and you know, unless there's some type of smoking gun out there that says, hey, he should have been in the majors when we sent him down, they're probably going to win that grievance. So he's got 2 years of control. So the question is, from the Cubs' standpoint, how much does that year matter in terms of what they're getting back? And I don't think there's a huge difference. You're still going to be getting a major haul for Chris Bryant. When you're talking about one top prospect for Josh Hader, you're probably talking about at least two for Chris Bryant, a position player. He does have two fewer years of control, but played at an extremely high level last year. And the other thing with the Cubs, you know, you mentioned it, Rendon's off the board. You've got Donaldson out there, but you have a couple of teams that are desperate for a third baseman. The Rangers were one, and of course the Nationals, having lost Rendon. If they miss out on Donaldson, then, you know, they could be pretty heavy for Chris Bryant. So that is for me what could be really interesting to watch. Where does Donaldson go? And the teams that lose out on Donaldson, are the Cubs able to leverage that sort of level of desperation and get just a monster package for Chris Bryant? I think that's what the Cubs will be looking at. And if they can't do that, then perhaps they walk away and look at it at the trading deadline, or they go at this again next offseason.
All right, Adam, how about up to Boston? And, you know, their new general manager, Chaim Bloom, is basically, and they want to cut and slash payroll. We know that. Before the season even ended, there were reports in Beantown that they might try and move Mookie Betts. I mean, which is amazing. I mean, Adam, you know, you've been around the game a long time. I've watched the game, you know, been a fan my whole life. You know, Mookie Betts screams lifetime Red Sox. I mean, when you have a player of that caliber, the idea that, you know, the Boston Red Sox, a big market team, you know, based on some of the misjudgments and contracts that they've handed out, have to potentially pair him off and trade him because they can't afford him. I mean, it's stunningly enough, but I mean, I would imagine if they really decide as an organization to move on from Mookie Betts, I mean, you're looking at a top five player in the sport, no?
You would think so, Moose. I mean, and I totally agree with your sentiment. I mean, the Red Sox should be able to afford, just, it's similar to Bryant with the Cubs, you know, but in this case, he's even more of a signature player. And yes, the Red Sox have handed out some strange whopper type contracts, Carl Crawford being one. I mean, if you got different management over the years, but the Red Sox have historically over the last 20 years been open to spending what they need to spend to compete. So yeah, it is a head scratcher. I think one of the issues, Moose, with Mookie Betts, and why more than likely, for me at least, he stays with the Red Sox maybe till the trading deadline, is just 1 year left of control and an extremely high salary, likely arbitration record, if I'm correct. Something approaching $30 million for this year. So when you factor in the level of control and the dollars, that's even though it's Mookie Betts, you're not quite going to get the same bang for your buck in terms of trade. And I think that for me is more why more likely he's the guy who could stay put. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've heard his name out there, you know, for the last however 6 months or so. So certainly he could go. But you know, it seems to me that that combination is going to make it hard for the Red Sox to get. Yes, Mookie Betts on an island is worth more than a top five prospect in the sport. But those other factors are going to make it tough to move him and get the right deal. And the thing with Mookie and the Red Sox, it just sounds like he wants to explore the market. You know, they've approached him, and he's just not looking to stay put right now in Boston, and he wants to see what else is out there. So that's, I guess, the reality is, Moose, that's another factor.
That's fair.
You know, he doesn't want to sign with the Red Sox, right? Is he going to want to sign with the Rangers? You know, I don't think it's necessarily – it sounds that he just wants to see sort of what the best fit for him is and talk to teams.
Yeah, and sometimes guys just want to test free agency and see exactly what their worth is and be able to go through that process when they're in the prime of their career, which maybe, you know, a Mookie Betts will do, and we're not, you know, with a year left of control for the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Could he re-sign with the Red Sox? I guess that's possible, you know, after he explores the market, but he just wants to see what he's worth and you know, see what the best fit is. What city is the best fit for him is what it sounds like.
You know, Adam, out to Los Angeles and the Dodgers, and we're talking to Adam Fisher, SNY, baseball analyst. You know, the Dodger fan has got to be a little chagrined. You know, a disastrous way that they lost in the playoffs and you know, with Kershaw giving up the back-to-back home runs. They fall short of making the World Series. They've had dominant regular seasons. They lost two straight World Series the two previous years to the Astros and the Red Sox, respectively. Are you surprised the Dodgers? Now, I know they added Blake Treinen, and you know they're in on Betances. They've been in on these guys, but are you surprised the Dodgers have not been able to close out one of these deals and been more aggressive coming off what was a really disappointing postseason?
You know, not necessarily, Moose, just because, you know, Andrew Friedman, coming from Tampa, his philosophy is similar to what Brian Cashman has been preaching with the Yankees these last couple of years. And I know the Yankees broke that trend, and the Dodgers have had very much a sort of very close and get your heart ripped out type disappointment that the Yankees have had. But I feel like it's even harder to break that type of discipline when you've been doing it for so long, like him in Tampa Bay and then moving over to the Dodgers. And it does sound, he had a great quote, which was, you know, if you're going to be responsible in free agency, you're always going to finish third. You know, and I think that's a great quote from him. And, you know, I think that they're improving sort of, well, not improving is not the right word, but they're changing their mindset a little bit and they're becoming more aggressive, but not quite aggressive enough to close the deal on some of these guys. And I think if they really want Bumgarner, it sounds like that's a real possibility. I know he's not the level of these types of free agents, but the Dodgers are super creative. They've got a really, really good team. They need their guys to show up and hit in the postseason, you know, when they get into those situations. I don't think you want to panic. In the Yankees case, you could see that there was just one player that could really make a difference. I mean, look, you and I talked about it all the way in through the playoffs. You know, Gerrit Cole is a huge X factor for the Yankees. I'm not sure that X factor necessarily exists for the Dodgers. They got an outstanding. They're a very well-rounded team that has had some playoff failures. If the playoffs are quote a crapshoot, like Billy Bean said, the Dodgers are the best example of that. So I understand why they're feeling the pressure. But you know, if I was sitting in that Dodgers front office, I like the approach they're taking. There's really no reason to panic. They still have one of the best and most well-rounded teams in the sport.
Adam Fisher, SNY, former executive with the Braves and the Mets, and he'll be executive back in baseball real soon as well. Good baseball man, good baseball mind, and he gets it. Hey, Fish, thanks for the time this morning. Have a great Friday and have a great weekend, all right?
All right. Thank you, Moose. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. You too.